A few weeks ago, I called my grandma. I was talking with her. She is 96 and lives in an assisted living facility, and like other ones across our state, was in lockdown at that point. And actually, she's still in lockdown where she lives. Here's a picture of her. This is my favorite picture of her taken a few years ago. But because she can no longer see due to macular degeneration, she spends most of her time, and my words would be, she's stuck in her room, only venturing out when a staff person can come and take her on a walk up and down the hallways. And as I was calling her, I was trying to imagine myself in her shoes, in this studio apartment, not able to have meals with these friends that have become, they've become together the Bad Girls Club, just sitting and eating at all of their meals together and being with one another, celebrating birthdays together, not able to leave the facility for any reason at all, not able to binge watch TV, with her inability to see. So I was trying to think about how she might be feeling as I called her that day. As Grandma answered the phone, she sounded upbeat and chipper even. You could hear the positivity in her voice. I caught up with her what was going on in our lives, although I have to say there wasn't much to tell her about what we had been doing. She told me how she was enjoying the books on tape that she listens to and how she was spending her time in prayer. Praying for those that lived in the facility with her, those other residents, her neighbors that were right around her, and praying for the staff and specifically for their health at that time. There it was. Another time in life when I thought I was calling to cheer someone up, that I was going to serve someone, but I was the one that clearly needed the message that day. I was ready for a downcast voice that was bored, worried, lonely, frustrated. But that's not what I experienced. And I learned why with the last statement of how she was spending her days in prayer. So often we act like prayer is something that we have to do. We put it on our list of things to do. We check it off and we get it done and over with. Or maybe we don't do it because we think we don't know how to pray. But prayer, you see, is this gift that is given to us. Even more than that, it's a force, a life force of power that is God's Spirit being breathed into us. Even when we are bored, worried, lonely, frustrated, to know the message that prayer offers us, that God is with us, that he is present and at work in us, and that he loves us. Last week, as we looked at the end of Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Prayer is deeply linked with that ability to love our enemies. So this week we look at how Jesus continues to guide us in this kingdom living and how prayer is the foundational part of this living. So we begin in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. From reading that passage from the very beginning, we see these words, when you pray. We come to know that Jesus has this understanding and even an expectation that they will pray. It will be part of their lives and something they participate in regularly. It was part of the Jewish tradition, and it was practiced in a very ritualistic way. It's the practice that we read about in the book of Daniel, who went to his room. He got down on his knees in front of the window that was facing Jerusalem, giving thanks to God 3 times each day. This ritual that had been given to them out of relationship in order to deepen their love and their relationship with God, though had morphed into something that it was not intended to be. So Jesus was inviting them into a loving relationship through the way they would practice prayer. Prayer was to be a time of communion with God, sharing concerns and needs, fears, lifting up family and friends, giving thanks to God for answered prayers, praying even for their enemies. Just as Jesus was inviting the disciples that day, we are invited into prayer as a time when we are drawn into the presence of God so that we can experience His mercy and His love. So that as we confess our sins, that we can receive the forgiveness that we need. So that we can take on then those characteristics of God, the God of mercy and love and forgiveness. That kind of relationship is formed when prayer is focused on God. When He is the audience and the one that we are given attention to. The people had gotten into habits of prayer that were self-seeking. They would be sure that they were in the synagogues or on the street corners at those 3 designated times of personal prayer during the day, so that they would just happen to be in those places and in front of others, and they would just have to, you know, stop and pray. So they were sure others would see them and know just how holy and righteous they were. And Jesus was instructing them to not go on and on with their words, trying to show off to others about how eloquent and long their prayers were. You see, Jesus was confronting some of these realities and what was going on. And then as part of that, He gave instruction, a new vision, in order to bring back the intent of prayer. Relationship. Prayer was to form and to undergird and to strengthen and to deepen that relationship with God, which would then in turn give people that same opportunity to have relationship and intimacy in relationship with people. Jesus instructed them to go into a room, to close the door, to put their focus where the focus needed to be, not on attention, not on self, but on God. Jesus then gave them a model, which we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. They're words that offer that intimacy in prayer, and it gave power in the relationship. It calls on God, Heavenly Father, to provide, forgive, guide, and deliver. Not only now, but on a God who would reign forever. It's a prayer that proclaims who God is and that therefore proclaims who we are as His children who honor and trust Him. Jesus links this invitation beautifully with the next words in the Sermon on the Mount about the practice of fasting. This was also a practice that was part of their lives, called upon during the Day of Atonement, that they would fast on that day and in that would seek forgiveness, not only for their personal sins, but for their national sins. Over time, though, they had forgotten the why behind the spiritual practice, so Jesus said this to them, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. But they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that in it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I have to confess, fasting is not something I participate in as Jesus is giving us invitation today in this scripture. My idea of fasting is not eating a snack between breakfast and lunch, or not having something just before bedtime. But I have a friend in my clergy covenant group that practices it regularly that I've heard her testimony and witness about the difference it's made in her life. And so she comes to speak to us today. So welcome the Reverend Dr. Debbie Daly Salinger.
The psalmist says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? For me, going and meet with God entails fasting, a time of prayer, a time to sit and wait on the Lord, to hear His word over my life, over my family, over my ministry. There are times when I feel abandoned. There are times when I feel God is so quiet, and my soul just needs to be touched by the Holy. And I would ask God for permission. A discipline I learned from my godmother, who taught me that fasting is not something you take lightly. Fasting is something that you and God must be, you need to be ready when God says you're ready. So as she does more of the time when I watch her go into a time of fasting for various reasons, I do the same thing. I ask God for permission. I sit in prayer because this whole time is to be undergirded by prayer. It's not about me alone. It's about the meeting with the Holy Spirit. And when I get that permission to go fast, I go as long as He needs me to sit in that space, whether it's for half a day, whether it's for a whole day, or whether it's for a few days. I sit listening. And as I sit, I always know when it's over, and I come out renewed, come out with a new message, come out with a new direction, come out with a new purpose. And what God is asking me to, but I always find out that when the Lord take me into this space, it's not a time when all these things and worries are, that I can't be away, because it needs to be a time where I am sitting, not just not eating. It's the time where I'm sitting in prayer. It's a prayer time for me. It's a time where I'm reading the scriptures and just sitting, and only thing I'm doing different is like I'm not eating. Nothing is going inside here while I sit empty, waiting patiently to be filled, whatever God wants me to be filled with, whatever new word God wants me to have. It is something we can do as followers of Jesus Christ. There are churches who have done it each year, the beginning of the year, just do it together. One pastor, Jensen Franklin, he does it with his church every January for 21 days. I've never done that with my congregation, and maybe I should. But I know just before this COVID-19 took over, a friend of mine had sent in this need to go into fasting, and I've never done it with somebody else. And we start praying about it, and the Lord put in our hearts this 21-day fast. It came with devotion, some scriptures to read, things to reflect in throughout the day and time. The fasting plan allowed you to do however long, if it half a day, one day, I chose to do it all day. And my day always starts from the night before and ends at 3 o'clock, because I like that number 3. It's significant to the cross. So 3 o'clock, that's when I will break my fast. And I'm, you know, when I sit back and reflect at the timing of that, how much God must have been, was preparing me for what was ahead in the season of pandemic. I know there were moments during this season in the beginning I was calmer than most of my colleagues. I mean, because I didn't rush out and do anything. I was taking my time. Yeah, I doubt myself sometimes. Should I rush and take all my people on Facebook immediately when half of my congregation doesn't use Facebook? But it gave me a sense of clarity how to do what I needed to do without leaving my people behind. Did I know this was going to happen when I entered that 21 days just before this had happened? No. But God did. And through my friend, and I speak through my friend, and I can get us prepared for that space, for what we're living in now. So the important piece in thing, it's not only listening before you're going to, while you're in fast, but listening before. This is why I think I understand now why my godmother always teaches me to ask for permission, because it needs to be in the timing of, in line with what God is preparing you for, what the purpose of listening. So I pray, I would love to see a lot more of my people going to fasting and sit with me and others in a time of sitting and prayer and waiting to hear upon the Lord. Maybe what we're going through now is a time where, like Elijah, is sitting in the cave and constantly in that story, God was asking him, "Where are you? What are you doing here, Elijah?" Basically asking him, it's not about his location, but asking, where are your soul? What is happening with your soul, Elijah? Maybe this is a time for us to consider fasting again, pick up the discipline of fasting, a time of prayer. We don't spend too much time with that, do we? We constantly want to do, when God is inviting us to just be in his presence. Be, so we can listen and know that he is God. Another time that for me for fasting is very important. Ever since I started ministry, I started coming and taking on the privilege and the humbly sit, stand here in front of a congregation to bring the word of God. I don't find myself worthy for this call, but I know God called me and I need him. I want to be the pastor who pray under the power of the Holy Spirit anointing week after week. And sometimes my week just don't give me that. But I made this promise to God. You meet me every Sunday, I'm going to do my very best. I'm coming to you empty. And that emptiness has manifested itself that from sundown on Saturday, I am fasting. I don't eat until after I say the last word on Sunday, whenever lunch is. Because sometimes my service finishes 11:45 and I don't eat till all about 2 o'clock. But during that time, I'm still working. I'm still doing the Lord's work. So I stand in this place, empty, waiting for God to fill me with his word. That's fasting. But it's been a privilege talking to you this morning about fasting. It's a very powerful anointing experience where you can encounter God in a new way. I pray that more and more of God's people, the disciples of Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus Christ, whatever you want to name yourself, will do that day in and day out. in that Matthew scripture that Melissa is going to talk to you about, I've talked to you about on which way this video will be shown. And three things came out of chapter 6. It's talking about when you give. They're asking when you give, when you pray, when you fast. So when do you give? When do you pray? When you fast? My fasting is always undergirded by prayer. Before, during, and after. May the Lord bless you with his word. May the Lord call you into this place of stillness. May you get the opportunity to witness and experience a little bit of what I have, because I know there's so much more than what I have experienced. God bless you, and thank you for this privilege to speak to you this morning.
We have been given the invitation by Pastor Debbie, and the invitation that really comes from Jesus to be in prayer, to participate in fasting, to empty ourselves and to let God fill us so that we can deepen that relationship with him, that we can forgive, that we can love our enemies, so that we can be delivered, so that we can receive our daily bread, so that we can experience all that God has for us and all that God has for the world. As I was reading these verses this past week, I thought about a verse in Joel 2, which we typically use on Ash Wednesday. It says, "Return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments." It's our hearts that Jesus wants. In these verses, Jesus is giving us invitation, and he's teaching us how we can connect our heart with his heart, our heart with the heart of one another. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your continued word, which pours into us, which speaks to us today, which guides us, for you have taught us, Lord. You've been drawing us into your presence to let us respond. Lord, as we say yes, we want to be drawn into your presence. We want to be drawn in these acts in this time that you offer to us of prayer and of fasting. We rend our hearts to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, it just so happened that one of the devotional materials that I use in my morning reading gave witness about some people's lives who were a part of activism and social justice in the world. But they only did that out of a very contemplative lifestyle and practice of spiritual disciplines. And on Monday, I read about Dorothy Day, who spent much of her life fighting for labor and women's rights. Guided and led out of her morning time of prayer, and some scriptural meditation and participating daily in the breviary, which was a time of reading very specific psalms and scriptures and prayers that were offered. For it has, 2020 has been a year that has come that we were not planning for. To say it's a challenge would be an understatement. In the mix of that, part of the challenge is not being able to be active, not being able to do the things that we had planned. And that has been part of my struggle, I know, not being able to do ministry. So I was thinking about this and the invitation that my grandma gave when I called her about what she spends her days doing, the invitation that Debbie gave when I talked with her, that this isn't a time of doing, but this is a time of being And might we receive the invitation from God to be in very active and intentional times of prayer and fasting in these days and in this season of life, so that we might deepen our relationship with God, so that we might deepen our relationship with one another, so that we might love God and love our neighbor in a life of prayer and fasting that will then guide us and lead us in what we are to do. Go from this time, sisters and brothers, in the grace and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.